Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
Having a group together that's able to have game after game, drive after drive, snap after snap, lining up across from each other, and then trusting what they see. You know, if they feel like they're getting their best five on the field, because the better they run the football, the better their young quarterback can perform.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
You know what that music means. We're never scared of Ann Herron. On the contrary, we're always happy he's here. Anthony Herron, analyst for us on The Score. Of course, he's also on the Fox 32 shows, Big Ten Network. The man is everywhere. In fact, he's with us tomorrow night from 6 to 9 p.m. He's hosting, and he's got the Score post-game show on Sunday night from 5 to 6:30. He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Big Ant, what'd you think of the game?
What's up, my people? Yeah, it was a fun game to watch through the lens of all these new experiences we have with this version of the Bears, just because it's the first season for Ben Johnson, and we're all just trying to figure out what each little touchstone kind of means along the way. And so the bye week was the latest example of that. How will Ben Johnson handle the Bears off the bye? And I thought there were things that were very noticeable examples of how this was an enhanced version of the Bears coming off the bye. Some of it just personnel-wise, getting certain guys back into the lineup. But then also just what they were able to do on the line of scrimmage. I was talking to all our mutual friend, Luke Kanellis. We were doing our pregame over at Fox 32 on Bears Game Day Live. That was one of the questions Lou asked, was what's plausible to really expect coming off the bye week that they could really do? And I told him, there's a legitimate chance that the Bears can be a better run defense and be a better run offense coming off the bye, because you don't necessarily have to just beat each other up. That can be part of it. You get better at playing football by playing football, but beyond just sort of beating each other up in practice, the coaches have a chance to evaluate during the self-scout that I know you guys talk about a lot middays here. But then beyond that, to really get the players in tune with where they're best suited to help this team out, what they're best at, and being able to study that. It's one of the things that an early bye week normally isn't a big appeal, but if you take advantage of it, this can be something that really propels them through the rest of the season, just having that chance to sort of exhale and really see what's the best version of us and how do we put the players in positions that suit them.
It seems, Ant, like they really did take advantage of this time to get things right, or at least get things better. I don't know where you are. I see you're outside. He's on Twitch right now.
He's in front of a waterfall.
Yeah, first of all, can you just tell us where you are?
Yeah, got a beautiful koi pond here. There's a waterfall behind me. I'm outside. I'm enjoying the conditions. We know the weather will be waning here in the days and weeks to come. So I figured I'd step outside and take advantage of the environs that I have access to.
Okay. You have access to a koi pond?
I hear where I'm at right now, yeah.
Didn't Michael Scott once fall into a koi pond on The Office? Wasn't that an Office
yes,
episode?
Yes, that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely. Ray Diaz wants me to let you know you should probably not go chasing waterfalls.
Oh, my God.
And to please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. But we wish you were here with us right here, Ant, because we're eating right
Ray's
now.
Ray's just trying to get me to sing Negroni.
He just did.
Wish you were here.
I love it when Ant sings.
Hey, I don't care if you sing as long as I ain't leading the show.
No, listen, Ant,
he's still singing.
No,
he's still singing.
I like it because it's close enough to a shower that he can sing and be comfortable, and everybody should be comfortable with it. That's why I like it. No, but seriously, we wish you were here because they dropped off food from Honey Baked Ham in Lakeview, and we're just stuffing our faces, ham, turkey, box lunches, Hawaiian rolls.
Potato salad, and real potato salad.
I got a box lunch. Let's see, what do we got? We got chips and a big, soft, delicious cookie and a ham
beans,
classic.
Beans, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, yam, ham.
You name it!
No, here's what I want you to name, though, Ant. Seriously, on a more serious note. The offense, the running game versus the defense, and stopping the run. Which were you more impressed with? The ability to run the ball last night, or the ability to slow down what had been a prolific rushing attack from Washington?
It's a good question, because I was really encouraged by both. I think the fact that the personnel on the offensive line, that we've known them to be quality pros, what they added on the interior and how encouraged most of us are by Darnell Wright and what he's got the potential to be. Of course, Theo Benedict making his first start at left tackle. All those things, to me, indicate that it's a run game that, with Ben Johnson's ability to continue to scheme up the run, and it's something that for me has been a little bit of guesswork on my part, just feeling like the fact that they didn't go beyond DeAndre Swift in the backfield, you know, aside from a bunch of other unproven commodities back there, but as far as the back who's actually done something at this level, they were very comfortable with DeAndre Swift being that guy over the offseason. And that just indicated to me, just logically, I just said, okay, Ben Johnson must be really confident between the personnel they've added to the offensive line and his ability to just sort of scheme up the run game, that they'd be in good shape. Because DeAndre Swift is, of course, a talented back, but he's not someone who sort of on his own has ever carried a significant rushing game in the NFL on its own accord. And I think we've seen some evidence of that. I like the way that Ben Johnson can sort of have the versatile approach to allow his guys to try and just sort of run off the ball and move people. And we've seen that they haven't been that consistent with that this year. But to me, one adjustment that I feel like was made in the game last night is that in the previous four games, there was an approach to the rushing attack where DeAndre Swift was running a lot between the tackles. And then he was utilizing his ability to scheme up receivers and other playmaker skill position guys to sort of attack the exterior pretty effectively. Then occasionally we'd see DeAndre Swift in space. Last night against a really fast-flowing Commanders defense, they got everybody in space. And he consistently was able to attack. You know, he attacked vertically with the run, but really worked well horizontally against the Commanders also. But he wasn't only using sort of, you know, exotic runs and receivers and, you know, orbit motion and jet sweep motion and things like that to sort of add some eye candy. He allowed DeAndre Swift to be one of those guys also. And it's a big part of why we saw him able to sort of get out the gate so frequently. And it was well blocked up front by the O-line. But what enhances the offensive line and the tight end's ability, where, like I've told you, Cole Kmet's been blocking his tail off this season. But it enhances their ability to move people when the defense isn't certain where that run lane is going to present itself. So it saps some of their aggression to hit what they think is the point of attack. And I really like the way he used Swift as a part of some of the exterior run more frequently.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Big Ant, we talked obviously about the way the Bears defended the run, and it was better. They ran the ball better as well while we're talking about it. What did you think about the way the Bears defense defended Jaden Daniels?
I mean, he is such a difficult guy, a difficult talent to defend, and it's always really frustrating when you've got a quarterback who's as effective as a passer as Jaden Daniels is, but then also can get you into second reaction mode and just do things that are off script, but do them effectively. You know, some guys get a bit frantic or frenetic when the first couple of reads aren't there and they got to try to get into, you know, sort of playmaker mode, but it can be kind of helter-skelter, a little boom or bust. But Jaden Daniels is able to be a guy who, as he extends the play, can just have you in this bind, because he still isn't very turnover prone when he's doing that. And so it's really frustrating. And I thought they did as effective a job as I think you can hope to do with Jaden Daniels. Nice to see Daquan Brisker with an early interception in the red zone. it's great to see, you know, some of the moments where, yeah, he's just really fast and slippery. So he's going to be able to turn the corner on TJ Edwards and get an angle on a few guys. There's going to be the occasional missed sack because especially last night where the pads and the jerseys are a little more slippery. If he's just out of your grasp and you're trying to grab hold and you just narrowly miss him. So those things are going to happen, but it's about effort. And we saw a Bears team just continue to play hard, continue to work to the echo of the whistle and not allow the frustration of trying to contain a Jaden Daniels to sap their grip. Because that's one of the things that Cliff Kingsbury is really effective at, getting the ball out quickly, getting an athletic QB on the move. And then by the time you get into the latter stages of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, you're not only physically tired as a defender, you're sort of mentally taxed where you're not really rushing as aggressively as you were earlier. And frankly, the latter stages of the game is where we saw more penetration from that Bears D-line than we did early on. I found that to be really impressive.
We're talking to Anthony Heron, the man for all seasons, who is in front of a koi pond and a waterfall right now with us. He's our show host here on 670 The Score. He works for Fox 32 Big Ten Network as well. And Ant, this is just obviously my layman's viewpoint, but I felt like there was a lot of similar offensive concepts that were running the game for both the Bears and the Commanders. You saw a lot of, I think we saw some old school spread formations out of the Bears, which I love to see. I felt like there was a lot of zone read, which made sense if you need more of a run game that's diversified with not just one personnel.
Right.
You know, I felt like they were both running zone read. They were both running some spread offense concepts, especially since you analyzed so much college football too. What did you think of the offensive sets that you saw?
It's been fun to watch that evolution in the program. And I know, you know, especially you, Layla, and Marshall, you know, we've all covered the college game pretty extensively. And to be able to see the way that collegiate schemes are now just such a big part offensively of how people operate in the NFL. And because of that, now NFL defenses have started to adjust to not just get more speed on the field, but frankly, to just get more defensive backs on the field. That's one of the things that a guy like Kyler Gordon, who, you know, maybe 15 years ago, he certainly would have been a pro, but there would have been a more definitive reason to decide, is this guy a safety? Is this guy an outside corner? We're not completely certain. But now in modern football, like Kyler Gordon has such a significant role because, and one of the things that's impressed me with now watching him as a pro for a handful of years here is that he's more physical than I thought he was really going to be in the pros. I knew he could cover. I knew he was a slick, fluid athlete, but you didn't see him forced to play in the box. There's so frequently throughout his Bears career now, last night was another example, where he's just used as an additional linebacker, but he can hold up. He's not going to take on an offensive guard at the second level that frequently with force, but he can at least do what he has to do to get an angle on that big guy and sort of set an edge at the point of attack, sort of playing into the hip of bigger blockers that are coming at him. And so a player like that, that you can utilize in a wide variety of ways in coverage, be an exceptional blitzer. And it was great to see both he and Jaquan Brisker added to the Bears' blitz pressure last night. But you need those types of movable chess pieces and guys who can be both physical against the run and cover on the back end. And it's just got to happen in the NFL because of the advent, all these spread options and the variety of plays that get run in the National Football League now. But a lot of it are things that have really been getting done at the college football level for a longer time. And as now quarterbacks have been getting protected by the rules more and more in the pro game, not just in the pocket, but also making sure that even when they're on the run, you're going to treat them with kid gloves. And so that commodity that's always been so worried about, so protected in the quarterback, even using them as a part of their run game, people are more willing to take that risk now than they've ever been before.
That's Anthony Heron. We have more with him coming up in our next segment. I want to get into that a little bit more. I know we've got a couple more questions for you when it comes to some of the different looks we saw to the Bears, both offensively and defensively. And oh, what about that pass rush too? We'll get his thoughts next. Yes, more with Ann Heron on Raheem Harrison Grody on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.